我真要谢谢主，今天晚上让我有机会报告中国教会的拆船的工作。
I thank the Lord for giving me this opportunity tonight to give you a report on the present situation as far as the Chinese Church's missions work is concerned.
这一种的工作可以说是神爱我们华人的教会最近十几年来所兴起的一种新的工作。
It is because of God's love that He has enabled the Chinese Church to begin to have missionary outreach in the past couple decades.
我真是盼望我今天晚上所报告的能够引起我们在座每一位青年的弟兄姊妹们你们关怀这件事。
I hope through our sharing here tonight, you will come to have a concern for missions.
因为我们从教会的历史看见，现在是轮到我们华人的教会，我们青年的弟兄姊妹们应该起来参加这一个拆船的行列。
Looking at church history, we should realize that we too should now go into missionary work, that Chinese brothers and sisters should have a share of this blessing.
第一个我要报告的，为什么华人的基督徒，我们今天应该参加这一个拆船的工作。
First, I want to explain why today the Chinese church should go into missions.
请大家打开马太福音28章来看一看。
Let's turn to Matthew 28.
马太福音28章从18节，我们读到20节。
From verse 18 through 20, Matthew 28.
为着时间的关系，我们单单用英文来读。
Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
为什么我们今天要做拆船的工作呢？
Why do we have to go into missions?
这里告诉我们说，我们应该出去，使万民做我的门徒。
Jesus here says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations.
这句话看上文好像是对当时的门徒讲的。
It seems that Jesus at that time was speaking to his disciples.
但是我们仔细地研究二十节的话，我们就晓得也是对我们今天华人的教会所有的弟兄姊妹们讲的。
But as we look at verse 20, we realize that Jesus is saying the same thing to the Chinese church, to all the Chinese brothers and sisters today.
这是主耶稣基督升天以前给我们的命令。
This is the great commission Christ gave us before he ascended into heaven.
今天放在我们中间的讲，就是成为我们福音的大使命。
And this is what we call the great commission.
这个大使命是我们每一位基督徒都应该去推行的。
We all have responsibility under this great commission.
请各位再看《使徒行传》第一章第八节。
Now we turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 8.
使徒行传第一章第八节。
Acts chapter 1, verse 8.
但圣灵降临在你们心上，你们就必得着能力，并要在耶路撒冷、犹太全地和撒玛利亚，直到地极，做我的见证。
But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the uttermost part of the earth.
这些经文我们如果没有详细的读的话，我们总以为传福音是从我们家乡开始，一直到全世界。
If we do not read carefully, we will get the impression that we should preach the gospel beginning with our home and then go out.
如果我们仔细地研究一下，就晓得传福音应该是分作国内的传福音和国外的传福音。
But if we look carefully, we realize our responsibility both towards home and overseas.
因为耶稣讲这句话，明明地把耶路撒冷和犹太全地是占一部分，撒玛利亚和地极是另外一部分。
It seems that Jesus is putting Jerusalem and Judea in one category, and Samaria and the remotest part of the earth.Into another category.
所以西方的教会就有国内的传道和国外的传道这样的一个组织。
Western churches have always had home and overseas missions.
今天我们华人的教会也应该有这样的工作才是对的。
Today the Chinese church should also have works in these areas.
从这两处的经文给我们看见，我们已经有了主耶稣基督的命令。今天的问题就是我们要不要遵循这个命令。
It is clear from the word that we have this commission from the Lord. The question today is, do we want to obey?
为什么我们要做差传的工作？
Why do we have to go into missions?
第二个理由就是因为全世界需要福音。
The second reason is because the whole world needs the gospel.
根据 World Vision 那个团体的调查，现在全世界差不多还有一半的人没有听见福音。
According to study by World Vision, about half of the world's population have yet to hear of the gospel.
今天华人的教会应该参加这个差传的行列才是对的。
The Chinese church should join the missionary efforts of our brothers.
又根据洛杉矶这个富尔神学院那个双教研究院里面的报告。
From the reports of the School of World Missions at Fuller Theological Seminary.
现在全世界所有西方的双教师是集中在全世界占17%那个范围里面。
Most of the Western missionaries today concentrate in approximately 17% of the world's area. Concentrated geographically in about 17% of the world's countries.
还有83%的地区没有一个双教士。
In other words, about 83% of the places around the world did not have missionaries.
很多人看见那些大多数的地区还没有双教士，就是等候我们华人的双教士出去到哪边还福音的债。
I believe the time has come for the Chinese church to pay the debt of the gospel.
根据以上所讲的两个理由，我们华人的教会应该起来参加这个差传的行列。
I believe that the Chinese church should rise up to the challenge and go into missionary outreach.
第二方面的报告。
From another report,
华人教会现在参加这个差传的工作，现在的情况究竟是怎么样的呢？
What is the situation of the Chinese church?
大概是1960年，在香港，在菲律宾就兴起了这一种的工作。
In 1960, some churches in Hong Kong and in the Philippines started to have missions.
在北美洲是1966年才开始引起人家的注意。
It was not until 1966 that some Chinese churches in America began to take an interest in missions.
北美洲的华人教会真正做差传工作的是1971年开始的。
And it was really not until 1972 that some Chinese churches in North America began to have missionary outreach.
到今年12月为止，无论是香港、菲律宾、新加坡，在东南亚这三个地方把它统计起来，有30个单位做了这个差传的侍奉。
To date, about 30 churches in Hong Kong, Philippines, and Singapore have works in missions.
在北美洲也有同样的数目，就是有30个单位做这个差传的工作。
There are also approximately 30 churches in North America that have a missionary work.
美国占了20个教会，加拿大占了4个教会。
About 20 in the States and 10 in Canada.
可惜北美洲所做的差传的工作多数都是用祷告、用金钱支持差传的工作而已，很少有教会差派双教士出去的。
Regrettably, most churches in North America have participated only as far as finance and prayer. Very few Chinese churches in North America have actually sent out missionaries.
讲到这一点，就是我们今天在座的每一位，我们应该多多的祷告，在我们年轻人中间兴起许许多多的双教士来。
For this, we have to pray among ourselves that God will raise up missionaries from among us.
第三方面的报告。
Thirdly,
华人教会对于今后差传的工作，我们应该怎么做才对呢？
What should we do in the future?
我想应该在各教会里边、各团契里面、各查经班里面，要多多的有这个差传的教育。
I believe missions education is very important among churches and Bible study groups or campus fellowships.
我们中国教会这么迟才做差传的工作，原因就是因为众教会、众弟兄姊妹对差传的真理完全不明白。
The reason that the Chinese church has lagged behind in missions is because we do not have a good understanding of the theology of mission.
我们研究安提阿的教会，差不多有5-6年的时间，他们就开始派保罗、巴拿巴出去。
When we look at the Church of Antioch in Acts, they only have 5 or 6 years of history before they sent out Paul and Barnabas.
我们研究初期的教会, 他们没有几年的功夫, 他们就派了许许多多的传教士出去。
When we look at early church history, we realize that they sent out many, many missionaries when their churches were still very young.
我们研究欧洲的教会, 北美洲的教会, 他们也是一方面向本地传福音, 一方面他们就派派传教士出去。
When we look at European and American church history, we realize that they emphasized both home and foreign missions.
为什么他们能够做得那么好呢?
Why is it that they had been able to do such a good job?
我们研究他们的原因就是因为他们一开始他们教会里边就有开船的教育。
The reason is because they had good missions education from the beginning.
他们在讲台上面就常常释放这个差传的信息。
The message on missions is frequently preached on pulpits.
这是我们今天华人的教会应该学习的。
This is something the Chinese church has to learn.
我们的查经应该要查出来究竟圣经里面对差传方面是怎么讲的。
As we sit down to study the Bible, we need to find out what exactly does the Bible teach about missions.
我们也应该常常报告全世界 需要福音的地区,需要福音的民族,究竟还有哪几个?
We should have frequent reports on what cultures and what countries in the world still need the gospel.
这是我们今天应该做的第一点。
This is the first thing we should do.
第二点,
Secondly,
今天的华人教会应该大胆地来试办这个差传的工作。
The Chinese church should make bold attempts in missions.
我们晓得什么事情开头都是很难的。
No matter what we do, the beginning is always the most difficult stage.
很多人怕困难,怕失败,就不敢做这样的工作。
Many people are afraid of failure and they never want to launch out.
我们研究菲律宾也好,研究香港也好,那几个教会大胆地做差传的工作,原因就是因为知道差传的工作是神的命令,是神的旨意。
When we look at the churches in the Philippines or in Hong Kong, the few churches that have really done a good job, the reason is because they had the boldness to try.
既然是神的旨意, 我们靠着主的恩典, 靠着主给我们的力量, 那么我们就可以大胆地往前走。
If it is God's will, then by His grace, we should be able to go ahead.
今后我们第三点应该做的是什么?
Thirdly, what should we do?
就是应该从本地传福音, 我们有一个突破, 要到外地去传福音。
We need to have a breakthrough from home to foreign missions.
我们看见圣经告诉我们的是近处远方都要同时开始的。
From the Bible, we should realize that the work should be done both at home and abroad simultaneously.
我们也看见国内国外的传福音也应该同时开始的。
Both home and foreign missions should be done at the same time.
但是我们因为人总是一种自私，总是要凭眼见，多数我们喜欢在本地传福音，远方国外我们就没有去思想，没有去考虑。
A lot of time our vision are limited, and we emphasize home more than foreign missions.
今天从我们这一帮年轻的弟兄姊妹们开始，我们应该从本地突破到外地才是对的。
Beginning with this generation of Christians, we should have this breakthrough from home to foreign missions.
第四点我们应该做的,
Fourthly,
就是由同文化要突破到不同的文化地区里面去。
We should be able to make cultural breakthroughs.
什么叫做同文化的传福音呢?
What does it mean that to preach the gospel within the same culture?
向同文化的传福音就是找我们中国人的传福音。
It means that we are just to preach among Chinese.
今天我们的传福音的范围不能限定在这一个范围里面。
Our scope of ministry should not be limited.
当然我们有责任,中国人应该把福音传给中国人的。
Of course, the Chinese should have the responsibility to bring the gospel to other Chinese.
但是这并不能限定我们传福音的范围单单只对着中国人。
But it should not limit our scope of ministry among the Chinese.
如果外国的教会,西方的教会,他们如果是有这样的观念的话, 那么我们中国人永远没有听福音的机会的。If
the Western churches had this kind of concept, then the Chinese would never have heard the gospel.
今天我们应该向他们学习, 我们也要找到中国人以外的那种不同文化的人, 我们也要向他们传福音。
Today we should learn from our Western brothers and sisters, we should cross cultural barriers and preach to other people.
我想讲到这一方面, 我们北美洲的弟兄姊妹们, 特别在这里留学的青年人, 我们在这方面我们可以多尽一点本分。
I believe brothers and sisters who have the opportunity to study in this country, we probably can have a
因为我们本身因为我们本身有了中国的文化做背景，而且我们有了这个西方的文化这方面加上去。
Because we have our Chinese cultural background, and then we have the opportunity to be exposed to Western culture.
如果我们现在要再修一种的语言的话，无论是西班牙文、葡萄牙文或者德文、法文，好像比别的人、比远东的人比较容易的多了。
If we are to start learning a different foreign language, we should be at an advantage over brothers and sisters in Asia.
第五点我们应该注意的就是不单用金钱的支持这个拆船的工作，而且真是每一个教会每一个团契能够差派人出去做传教士，那是最好的。
Fifthly, our missions program must go beyond financial support. We should be able to send our own missionaries.
我们研究的结果觉得现在全世界所需要的传教士最少有三种。
From the result of our studies, we realize that there are at least three types of missionaries that are needed today.
第一种就是专职的宣教师，就是全时间以祈祷传道为事的这一班人。
The first type is full-time missionaries. They spend the time preaching.
第二种就是叫做代职的宣教师，好像这个宣教师医生、宣教师护士、宣教师教授这一类。
The second type is missionary professionals, like missionary doctors, missionary teachers, missionary nurses.
因为今天在亚洲很多的国家，他们是不欢迎全时间以祈祷传道为事的这样的传教士，他们欢迎教授、医生、护士这样的人进去的。
Many countries in Asia do not welcome full-time missionaries, but they will open their doors to missionary professors, teachers, or doctors.
所以我们今天华人的教会也应该这个呼召有一般这个有职业的带做职业的这样的传教士。
So I believe the Chinese church should be able to produce many missionary professionals.
我们研究的结果还需要有第三种的传教士。
And then thirdly, there's a third type of missionary.
因为有些地区根本就不能进去的。
There are places that you simply cannot get in.
但是可以去参观，可以去访问这样的身份进去的，留在哪边或者是两个月三个月，那么就要回来了。
But you might be able to get in those countries as tourists to stay there for short periods of weeks to months.
今天华人的教会需要有这样的传教师，就是叫做机动的传教师，流动性的。那么这几个月派了几位传教师到那个国家，那么调回来了，在下半年再派一队的传教师进去，做了几个月的功夫又再调回来。
We probably need this type of short-term missionaries.
这一种的宣教师他的功用是什么呢？
What could these people do?
就是进到当地去的时候是训练当地的传道人，训练当地的教会领袖们。
What they can probably do is to go in and train the local people,
让他们自己能够起来带领他们的教会。
That they might be able to take care of the work after they leave.
这是今天华人教会所应该做的工作。
This is what the Chinese church should do today.
最后一种
Finally,
今天华人教会需要有一个很健全的，或者好多个很健全的超宗派的这样的这个差会。
Today, the Chinese church also needs well-organized missions boards.
为什么我们需要有这样超然性的这样的华人差会呢？
Why do we need interdenominational missionary agencies?
因为今天我们发现有些爱主的青年人，他们听闻了神的呼召以后奉献自己。
Because today many young people, they responded to God's challenge, they dedicate their lives.
他们要参加西方的差会有一点困难。
And when they have to apply to Western missionary agencies, they have difficulties.
他们对我讲，他们真是希望有一个华人的差会起来。
Some have told me that they would really like to see Chinese missionary agencies.
他们愿意参加华人的差会。
That they could join.
另外一方面，也不少的牧师、主的工人对我这样说。
And then many pastors and servants of God have also said to me,
我们已经起来做差传的工作了。
We've started the work of missions.
但是我们不晓得宣教师是在哪里。
But we do not.
不知道，
But we don't know where our missionaries are.
我们也不晓得我们的传教士要派到什么地方去。
And we don't know where to send our missionaries.
我们也不晓得我们这一笔钱用在什么人的心上好。
And we don't know how to make investments.
因此有许多的教会就对我说，好不好？我们出来提倡办一个华人的差会。
So many churches have said to me, why don't we have an interdenominational missionary agency?
这一个差会要调查全世界究竟有多少工厂。
Such an agency should conduct survey of the needs around the world.
这一个差会也要让爱主的青年人，他们奉献自己，他们应该放在什么地方。
They should also let young people know when they want to dedicate themselves, where should they invest their life.
这个差会应该帮助众教会。 让他们所奉献的金钱应该分布在什么地方比较合理。
It should also give us advice as to where churches should invest their money.
换一句话讲,
In other words,
在工厂、宣教师、教会的金钱, 这三样的分配应该要有很理想的分配才是对的。
In other words, there should be fair distribution in the missions field as far as workers and finance is concerned.
为了这个差团的工作做到更好，那么这个差会必须能够成立起来。
In order that a Chinese church should have good missionary work, we need such an agency.
我请求大家为这个事情祷告。
And I urge you to pray for this.
最后，我想用几句话做一个结论。
Finally, I would like to conclude as follows.
几个月以前，内地会就是 OMF 有一个宣教师名叫李亚龙。 他离开了香港，来到经过美国，回到英国伦敦去。
Not long ago, an old missionary, Reverend Arnold Lear, he retired from Hong Kong, and on his way back home to England, he passed by, California.
那么我有机会在三藩市这个地方同他谈了几句简单的话。
And I had the opportunity to meet him and talk with him, in the Bay Area.
我非常钦佩李亚龙牧师。 他的父亲、他的祖父三代到中国大陆去传福音。
I know the Lear family, three generations of them, had gone to mainland China.
我就请教他，今天我们华人的教会应该怎么走才是对的。
So I very humbly asked him, what should the Chinese church do today?
他对我说了这么几句话。
And he said to me,
他说，郑国弟兄啊，现在是你们华人的教会。
He said, Brother Chang, now is the time for you Chinese church to rise up to the challenge of missions.
他说，可惜我有一句话想告诉你。
Unfortunately, I have to tell you one thing.
他说，我今天从东南亚一直到北美洲，我还没有看见你们中国的青年人真是爱主的，真是能够吃苦的，有一般人奉献给耶稣基督，愿意做传教士的。
He said, I've yet to see Chinese brothers and sisters who truly love the Lord and who would want to suffer for him to become missionaries.
我再反问他，你真的没有看见吗？
So I asked him, you sure you have not seen that?
他说，没有看见。
He said, I have not seen that.
他说，我盼望以后的日子里面真是能够给我看见。
I pray that the Lord will let us see that.
那一天晚上我回去的时候，我在神的面前大哭一场。
That night when I went home, I cried before the Lord.
我说神啊，你给我们中国人有8万万以上。
I said, God, you have given us 800 million Chinese.
我说神啊，你在东南亚、在北美洲兴起了中国的青年人。
God, you have raised up young people both in Asia and in North America.
为什么到现在还没有一批的青年人肯吃苦的，肯为主摆上去的这样的宣教师，你还没有给我们？主啊，你好不好给我们？
But why is it that we have yet to see young people who are willing to suffer, who are willing to become missionaries? Lord, would you give us such people today?
为什么我今天晚上要讲李亚龙牧师所说的话？
Why do I have to quote Reverend Arnold Lear tonight?
我今天祷告，我说主啊，在我们这个西岸的基督徒的冬令会里面，你兴起一批爱主的青年人，愿意做宣教士的。我有这样恳切的祷告。
I pray before the Lord earnestly today that among the brothers and sisters here on the West Coast, I pray that you will raise up missionaries.
我十分相信今年神在我们中间要做奇妙的工作。
I trust that the Lord will do wonderful work among us this year.
因为神爱我们华人,
because God loves us, Chinese.
特别是爱北美洲的年轻的弟兄姊妹,
especially brothers and sisters in North America.
给我们多受教育的机会,
He has given us extra opportunities for education.
给我们多受属灵的造就,
extra opportunities for spiritual nourishment.
我相信神对你对我一定有他的计划。
I believe God has a plan for you and for me.
我请求各位, 你们在这几天里面好好地祷告。
I pray that you will seriously pray before the Lord in these few days.
看看是不是神要我们做一个传教士。
Does God want us to become a missionary?
或者是叫我们做一个带字的传教士。
Or become a missionary professional?
请大家低头祷告。
Should we bow and pray? Fathers, we humbly bow before you tonight. We ask that you will speak to every one of us. Father, we ask that you will open our eyes to wider visions, wider horizons. And Father, we pray that you enable us to love you above everything else. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will move in a special way among us in these few days. We pray that you will speak to every one of us. You will speak through your servants. You will speak through your word, even in our time of quiet meditation. Father, we believe that you have a plan for every one of us, and we believe that you will not let us go until your will is fulfilled in our lives. And we pray that you will not let us go until we are fully surrendered. Father, we do not know the future. We are faced with many uncertainties, but we want to be sure of one thing. We want to walk in your will, to walk in the center of your will and nowhere else. Father, we ask that you enable us to fully surrender every area of our lives. And we ask that you enable us to have a close walk with you from day to day. And Father, we ask that you enable us to be faithful, beginning with humble tasks, that we might be able to do greater things for your glory. We pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to speak tonight. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Name we pray.
Amen. I have 30 minutes that I'd like to just share with you the ministries among American-born Chinese. I was born in this country. In fact, I was born in this area in San Francisco. And I came to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior when I was 18 years of age. And since then, I've gone to various different schools. And then the Lord called me into the ministry, and it's been exciting to be able to serve Him. And one of the things that I'd like to share with you particularly tonight is about the American-born Chinese. And when I was a student at Dallas Seminary, one of the things that crossed my mind is the 4 years of experience that I had working with international students. I'm sure many of you or some of you know Brother Wally Yu of the CCM. Brother Wally was 1 year ahead of me in seminary. We had several discussions about overseas-born Chinese and American-born Chinese, and we still have those discussions today about how we could best get the two groups together in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. But one of the difficulties in the Chinese ministries today is the differences of the many languages. In one area, when I was in seminary, is that for the 4 years I spent with international students, we had a group of seminary students going onto the campus. We had about 40 or 50 international students. We sang together, we had testimonies together, and then all of a sudden the master of ceremonies would break up and we'd split up into three groups. There would be a Mandarin group, there would be a Cantonese group, and guess who took the English group? And so it's my privilege to meet international students as well as to lead Bible studies in English. So as I've done a survey recently among the different churches in America, there are some 300 Chinese churches in America. In Dallas alone, there are over 400 Southern Baptist churches in that city alone. So it just shows you that the Chinese churches are spread and they face different problems and there are different emphases among each of the Chinese church. But one of the surveys that I worked with is asking different churches all through America, Chinese churches, do you have more American-born Chinese or more overseas-born Chinese? And when the surveys returned, we found that the churches were about half and half. Half where there was more American-born Chinese and the other half more Chinese-speaking. And so the Chinese churches face a real problem in ministering to several different groups, the Mandarin, the Cantonese, the English-speakings, and the immigrants. So it's a tremendous challenge in working with international students. And this evening, I'd like to just share briefly about how you as international students can reach the American-born Chinese. So let's look to the Lord in prayer before we begin this short ministerial briefing. Our God and Father, we thank you that you are moving among the Chinese people here in America. We know that the Spirit of God has touched many hearts, has converted and convicted many people to accept Jesus Christ, and they have a real interest in their hearts in reaching their own. We pray, Lord, through this conference, you would continue to bless and use all the information and all the Bible teaching, the fellowship for your glory to strengthen our life, that we would be better equipped to serve Jesus Christ. We thank you now for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have about 10 minutes of slides, and I don't think my slide projector would carry because of I don't have a strong enough bulb. But I'd like to just share with you just the ministries at Oakland Chinese Bible Church. And it's not that our church is perfect, by no means. But I'd like to show you these slides in order to just give you a glimpse of the blessings God has been blessing us at the Oakland Chinese Bible Church. And we've been averaging about 450 in Sunday school, and we have about 425 that are American-born Chinese, and the rest are Chinese-speaking. So could we have all the lights at this time? I'd like to just go briefly through our church. I have 36 slides. And just begin with our Sunday school and just go briefly through the ministries, up to students, and up to people. Okay, this is our nursery, and these are all the babies we have. And it's just amazing that there's been a baby boom at Chinese Bible Church. So, next. And then we move up to, and these are all couples, American-born Chinese, and couples or children born here. We teach them and raise them up in the local church. And this is the kind of preschool department. Next. Okay. A couple more children in the preschool department. Next. Okay, this is one of our teachers. She goes to UC Berkeley, American-born Chinese. And guess what she's majoring in? Chinese. She's takes Mandarin classes. And there's a new trend among American-born Chinese is that they want to go back and learn their culture and to study the language. So for you who are at the different universities, if you see a lot of American-born Chinese taking Chinese courses, is that they want to be re-identified in their culture and to pick up the languages. So this is Pam Wong. And these are some of the children we have at our church in the preschool department. Next. Okay, we move up now into our Miller Church, and here's another UC Berkeley student. We have about 80 college students at our church, and about 50 of them attend University of Berkeley. And they're all Christians, they love the Lord, and they serve in our local church. Next. And this is our Miller Church, third and fourth graders. We meet in the library. And these are practically all American-born Chinese. Next. Then we move into our junior department, and you can see one of our teachers, and American-born Chinese, and this is the third to the sixth grade. Next. And this is our junior department. Next. Okay, we have a lot of young groups, and we teach our children in the children's club called Sing and Bring. Yeah, there's activities on Saturday. Next. And so you can see many of the children that come to Chinese Bible Church. Next. Okay, we have mission work in Fremont, and this is some of our young people, collegiates. We use our college students, and they would go out to different cities and to work with different groups in the cities. Next. We call this our Fremont mission work, and we're trying to attempt to reach the Chinese in the Fremont Union City area. Next. Okay, this is one of our teachers, once again. They're teaching in a home neighborhood club. Next. Okay, our high school group now, we have about 40 to 50 in our high school group. We had a gym night one night. We had as many as close to 100 high schoolers, mostly all American-born Chinese. Here they are in a service project in a convalescent home. Next. And next. And this young man's student at UC Berkeley. Now he's a pharmacy student at UC Medical Center. And he's ministering to the elderly. And so our college students are actively involved in Sunday school teaching, in youth ministries, and in ministering to different groups in our city of Oakland. Next. Okay, then we have our college group. We have as many as 70 to 80 in our college group. In our career group, we have as many as 40 to 50 career people, mostly American-born Chinese. And we have recreation programs for our collegiates and our career people. This is Mills College in Oakland. Next. And this is different activities we have among our young people. Next. Out of the 450, I would say about 95% of our people would be young married and down. I would be one of the ancient people at Chinese Bible Church. Okay, next. And our young people, we don't have any janitors. All of our young people serve. They clean up the church on Saturday, and this is our auditorium that seats about 250. We have twin worship services that will accommodate up to 500 people during 2 hours. Next. And then we have home Bible studies for adults. And this is one of the home Bible studies we have in the Oakland area for reaching adults. Next. And back one of the families there is quite a wealthy man. I had an opportunity to lead him to Jesus Christ. And that was the first millionaire I ever led to the Lord. But here in the home Bible study, something very interesting happens, just briefly. The way we reach international students is once the couples stay here in the country, they bring their children here, we reach their children for Jesus Christ, and then eventually we begin to reach some of the parents to the Lord. Next. Okay, this is our Cantonese college department. And Mr. Peter Yun and Mr. Ray Kwong, they teach the Cantonese youth. And so this is where we're weak in this ministry. And we're attempting to strengthen it. Next. Okay, this is our Cantonese adult department, and it's bilingual. Next. And these are our Cantonese parents. We've had as much as 50 of these parents, some 30 or 40 in our youth. But we have a Cantonese ministry. It's all in Cantonese, and they meet up here in the upper room above the auditorium. And these are many of the parents of our young people. We reach the Chinese-speaking constituents by reaching their children first, and then we bring their parents to Jesus Christ. Next. And once again, the Cantonese ministry. Next. Okay, this is Pastor Lightfoot. He's a Fanyan and part Indian from Southern Baptist, from Kentucky, but he loves the Chinese people. He has a heart for the Chinese people. And he preaches two services in the morning. Our first hour is all junior high and high school. The second hour is all college and up. And this is our morning service. Next. This is our choir that sings on Sunday. Most of our choirs are collegiate career people. Next. And this is our ministerial staff. Pastor Lightfoot, myself as the director of Christian education, Brother Garland Chan as the youth director. We have three on a ministerial staff, ministering to mainly the American-born Chinese. And we're attempting to find a Cantonese speaker to help us in our Cantonese ministry. Next. After church is over, there's some 450 people that meet outside for fellowship. And as you look at the faces, they are 95% ABC. Next. We are crowded out of our facilities. In fact, we rent two apartments. We lease out the portable. We spend as much as $500 a month on rent alone to accommodate our Sunday school. We have double session Sunday school, double sessions worship service. Next. And so the Lord has been blessing. We've been growing at an annual rate of 12% each year. Lord willing, by 1980, we will be at 650 mark. We're looking for the Lord for larger facilities. Next. God has given us vans, and we pick up our children. We have a fleet of vans, and these fleet of vans carry our youth ministries, our camp ministries, our Sunday school ministries, our adult ministries, and our missions ministries. And God has been so gracious that one person even signed a check for $10,000 just to pick up a van. And many God's people have been so generous. This Christmas season, another of God's people wrote a check for $5,000 to pay for our newest van, which is that gray one without the name on it yet. So God's people's concern about God's work, they will give when God has been blessing. Okay, I think that's it. Next. Okay, full, but you still can come. We'd like you to visit if you can, but we're just one church in the Bay Area. There's some 50 to 60 Chinese churches, but our ministry is mainly to the American-born Chinese, but we're seeking to enhance our ministry with the Chinese-speaking. Next, I think that's it. Okay, for the next 15 minutes now, I'd like to just share a few words with you. And I know that 90% of you are students, and you're tired of school. You're in a quarter system, just finished your final exam. You put down the pen, put down the books, don't want to take any more notes. But let me just encourage you to take a few notes tonight. I know you've been taking a lot of notes during the conference, but just a few notes. In the next 15 minutes, I'd like to just share something that might be of help to you in reaching the American-born Chinese, because you rub shoulders with them on a university campus. You see them, you know that most likely they're American-born Chinese because of speech, dress, and of their peer groups. But this evening, in the next 15 minutes, I'd like to just discuss two points, and those two points are understanding and reaching the American-born Chinese. Understanding and reaching the American-born Chinese. You can help fulfill that gap. And I hope by just being here this evening that I could come a little bit closer in understanding the needs of the international students. Understanding the American-born Chinese. There are three things I'd like for you to consider about the American-born Chinese. One major aspect, which is quite obvious, is the loss of one's native tongue. The American-born Chinese, because of their second and third generation in this country, gradually they begin to lose their native tongue. That's why the many collegiates that you've seen at our church are going back into Chinese studies. And it's an amazing, phenomenal thing that they're wanting to go back into Chinese studies. So one of the reasons is that we lost our native tongue. And that's quite obvious in the Old Testament. If you turn to Nehemiah chapter 8, you will see that the Jewish people also lost their native tongue. And that causes a problem. And when you turn to Nehemiah chapter 8, you will see, as a result of being in captivity for so long in Babylon and Persia, that the Jews, when they returned back to Palestine, to Israel, they no longer knew how to speak Hebrew. So that causes a problem. When you're away from your country too long, you lose your native tongue. And most of the American-born Chinese at our church do not speak Cantonese or Mandarin fluently. At best, they communicate at home, but they cannot converse very fluently. So in Nehemiah chapter 8, I'd like you to look at these two verses, 7 and 8. And Jeshua, reading from the New American Standard Bible, Benai, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shebathab, Hoidiah, Messaah, Kalida, Azariah, Jasabed, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites. All of these people that I've just read about were bilingual people. Bilingual people. They were specialists. And notice what they had to do in verse 7. They explained the law to the people while the people remained in their place. And then notice verse 8. And they read from the book, from the law of God, translating to give the sense so that they understood the reading. Here's the peculiar thing. The Jewish people were taken out of their home context, transported some 500 to 700 miles away to Babylon. While in captivity, their children were born in Babylon, and they grew up. And then they begin to learn Aramaic, the Babylonian tongue. And then in the book of Esther, many of the Jews did not return in the captivity. In the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, many Jews came back. They rebuilt the temple, rebuilt the walls. But many Jews stayed back in Persia, where they were secure, where they had jobs. And what happened was, when the Jews that were in captivity came back to their homeland, they could no longer read their Bible, the Hebrew Bible. They couldn't read it anymore. And so bilingual people had to translate the Hebrew into Aramaic. And one of the distinctive things about the American-born Chinese today is that they lost their native tongue. And if you would begin to see that, you would begin to appreciate the special types of needs that they have. And then in Acts chapter 22, the second thing about understanding American-born Chinese is that the American-born Chinese have blended two cultures equally. Most international students are very still retain the Chinese culture and have rejected or resisted or slow to assimilate Western culture. But the American-born Chinese were born here, were raised here in the public school system. So they blend two cultures, Western and Oriental. And in Acts chapter 22, verses 1 to 3, we see that the Apostle Paul himself blended two cultures. He was both a Hellenistic Jew and a Palestinian Jew. In Acts chapter 22, verses 1 and 3, let me just read. Brethren and fathers, hear my defense, which I now offer to you. The great Apostle Paul is speaking. And when they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew dialect, they became even more quiet, and he said, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated under Gamaliel, strictly according to the laws of our father, being zealous for God, just as you all are today. The Apostle Paul was raised up in Hellenistic Greek culture, because Tarsus of Cilicia was a Hellenistic town where Alexander the Great pressed Greek culture. So Paul, the Apostle Paul, had Greek education, the philosophies and the writings. But then, under his special rabbinical training, he left Tarsus and came to Jerusalem and studied under Gamaliel. And then he picked up the Palestinian Jews. So he blended two cultures, Greek culture and Jewish culture. Why was the Apostle Paul chosen to be the great missionary that he was? Why wasn't Peter? Because Peter was a Palestinian Jew. He did not have the Greek background to go into the Roman Empire. God picked the man, the Apostle Paul, that blended two cultures, Greek culture, Jewish culture. And thus, he was a chosen vessel to the Gentiles. The American-born Chinese today blend two cultures. Even our thinking is in English. Our thinking is Western. But then in our homes, we use chopsticks. We still eat Chinese food. And so we blend two cultures. But as each succeeding generation lives in America, they become more Westernized in their life. The third thing about understanding the American-born Chinese is they lost their native tongue. They blend two cultures, some equally, some unequally, but today more Western in culture. But then thirdly, about the American-born Chinese, they gradually assimilate into American culture. The longer the generation stays here in America, the more they become assimilated into American cultures. One of the interesting things that have had in this past 3 months is holding a home Bible study in the Hayward area. In our home Bible study, which is in a very upper-class neighborhood, we've invited all the Chinese families to come to the home Bible study. Two or three of the family are Mandarin-speaking from Taiwan. What had happened is they got their education here, they began to work here, they found a fluency of American wealth. They bought nice homes in a very upper middle class structure. We had a Bible study there, and we began to invite the families. I have had much as six doctors in that home Bible study, three surgeons and three PhDs. One couple with a little small child, both of them have their PhDs, are from Taiwan. They speak Mandarin, right, in the Bible study, and then when I lead the Bible study, they get out the English Bible. But when they come to the Bible study, I could see in their children where they become more Westernized. They speak Mandarin, but then they've been influenced by Western culture. There's one man who went to the University of Michigan, got his PhD in engineering. He taught at the University of Michigan. And then he came to the West Coast as an engineer in Bechtel Corporation in San Francisco. He speaks Mandarin, has a lovely family. We reached their children through the Dailyfication Bible School. And they were happy that their children could come to a Chinese church, even though it was an ABC church. So what happened? We held that Bible study, and they became interested, and they came to the home Bible study. a Mandarin couple with a small child. And he is at a point where I believe that he will accept Jesus Christ as his Savior. Why? Because we reached their children. And I could see in their children where they become more westernized. And they wanted to keep them in Chinese schools and things like that. But one of the great problems in understanding the American-born Chinese is the gradual generation, there's a gradual assimilation into American culture. Okay, the next thing I'd like to share with you is reaching the American-born Chinese. You see them on the college campus, and you rub shoulders with them in the classrooms. But many of them have not accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You could do several things yourselves as Christians to reach them. And I'd like to just give some suggestions to challenge your heart how you can reach the American-born Chinese while you're at school. There are five things I'd like to share with you that are important in reaching the American-born Chinese. And immediately you don't think about them. They're kind of, you know, plain and simple. But then when you emphasize them in the light of looking at American-born Chinese, this might be helpful for you in witnessing to them. First of all, the first imperative is use the English language. I walked on here at the campground. I appreciate Brother Chang, your camp director, because I am at this present moment directing the camp at Mount Hermon. We have 215 American-born Chinese 10 miles down the road. I took this time off to come over here, kind of sneak in on your retreat. But I appreciate Brother Chan and all the ministrations and all the hard work he's put into this camp. And it's a lot of hard work. But when I came right on this campground, I knew immediately I was on a different campground. Everybody was talking Mandarin. Everybody's talking Cantonese. And I really felt like I was left out. Even though I share the same skin with you, I do not share the common language. So one of the things that when you are in a classroom, that if you would begin to speak English to American-born Chinese, that they will begin to listen. In fact, this is a rarity, because it is a rare thing for a Chinese international student to take the initiative in speaking first. But when we witness for Jesus Christ, one must take the initiative, cultural or non-cultural. It's the Christian thing to do, witnessing on campus. For many of you international students, you would probably feel a burden to talk to someone in Mandarin or Cantonese and share the gospel with them. But you're bilingual. And when you see American-born Chinese on campus, begin to just use English to introduce yourself and the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It'd be amazing. I really believe that many people will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul did it. He is bilingual. He wrote the New Testament in Koine Greek, but he still knew how to read Hebrew, the Old Testament. So he was bilingual. He reached both cultures, the Jewish culture and the Greek culture. And because you have the privilege of being bilingual, you can minister to both groups on campus, American-born Chinese and the international students. Of course, your specialty will be among your own people. But because you have a working knowledge of English, you would be able to share the gospel with them. Another thing is to use an English Bible or a New Testament. May take it for granted, but many of you have the New American Standard Version, which is great. I use the same. But you can win people to Jesus Christ. Our church in 1970 was running about 180. Our pastor, Lightfoot, believes in aggressive evangelism. We teach our young people to witness on campus for our Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen our church grow only as a result of people wanting to win other people to Jesus Christ. And the Lord's been blessing, and we thank the Lord for it. We keep on challenging our young people that there are at least 1,000 international students on the UC Berkeley campus alone, one of the largest among the international student population. We challenge our young people to not only to concentrate on American-born, but on all the people. All the people, not only Chinese, overseas Chinese, but on everyone. But to keep in mind, though, that we want to reach the Chinese for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then another thing I'd like to just share with you One big cultural gap is that among American-born Chinese and overseas-born Chinese is that there's a tendency on both sides to have a feeling of cultural superiority. You know, when you see American-born Chinese on the college campus, sometimes you go, oh, who are they? Can't even speak Chinese. They must not know much. Juk sings. But you know, the attitude may prevail, but it is not a Christian attitude, and we must guard against it. And I think one of the ways that you can win American-born Chinese is to treat them as an individual. Just treat them as an individual, and they will listen. They will listen. When I go on the UC Berkeley campus to witness with our young people and talk with the many international students on campus, they appreciate another Chinese approaching that individual just to be willing to share their faith. They appreciate that. No cultural superiority. Just plain, honest, face-to-face confrontation. One individual with another with a desire to win them to Jesus Christ. And I think it's just a thrill to share the gospel with the many international students in the Bay Area. Then lastly, of course, when you're witnessing to an ABC, show real concern and real love. I'd like to just close by reading Romans 10:1. Romans 10:1. The Apostle Paul was called to be apostle to the Gentiles, and yet he never left his love for his people. And this, in Romans 10:1, I'm sure you've heard of it many times, but this is Paul's internal love for his people. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. So you notice what Paul says, my heart's desire. That's